So today is Harvest Sunday. It's a day when we remember. I'm going to change this around a bit. I'm going to ask you a question. Why do we celebrate Harvest Festival?
To give thanks.
To give thanks. It's a day when we remember to give thanks to God for all that he has given us. We give thanks for our food. And we take so much of our food for granted. Bread, meat, vegetables, drink. And when we look at the wonderful variety of food that we have in shops, we should find ourselves saying, thank you, God. We also give thanks for the beauty of our countryside. Harvest is also a time to give thanks for the land on which our farmers grow their crops. But the countryside is also very beautiful too. I love sunsets, and whilst I was out walking with Linda and Alfie, our dog, the other day, she pointed out a most beautiful sunset to me. Then when we look at such a beautiful sunset, we should say, thank you, God. We should give thanks for the rain. You had to forget something. Sorry about that. We should give thanks for the rain. Yet I wonder how the Christians living in places where it hardly ever rains will hear these words that we have just heard, which from Barbara when she was saying that the open pastures are becoming green, the trees are bearing fruit, and then you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed, because in these places they haven't seen rain for years, and their crops die. So do we here give thanks for the rain? Because if we don't, and we don't have the rain, again, we would not have the food to eat. We should also give thanks to creation itself. Very early on in the Bible, we hear about creation of the world and the creation of all that we see. In the first chapter of the Bible, we read this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God made everything good, including the most amazing and intricate part of his creation, you and me. And isn't a tiny newborn baby so amazing? I can remember when James was born, I just marveled at God's great creation. And I know I was absolutely petrified I was going to drop him. But when we look at our creation, we have made a mess. And what a mess humans have made of God's beautiful world. There's pollution, forests wiped out, species of animals extinct because of human actions, a dangerously thin ozone layer, and hundreds of years of war which still continue today. This isn't what God created the world for. But although we have messed it all up, and we are still messing it up, God did not leave us alone just to get on with it. God sent Jesus into the world to show us how much he loves us. And God sent Jesus into the world to show us that he, God, is willing to die for us. in order that we can come to know God. God loves us and loves his world that much. And we give thanks for the Harvest Festival. And the Harvest Festival is the oldest of the Christian festivals. It goes back a good 4,000 years. Now, in the Old Testament, or at least the, when I say the, I'll explain. In the Old Testament, God told his people to celebrate three important festivals. These were festivals that everybody had to attend. And the first festival was the Feast of the Passover. And that was actually held in April each year at the beginning of the harvest. And it was at this festival that God's people recalled how God himself had been their saviour, for he had brought them miraculously out of slavery in Egypt. And it was significant that it was the Feast of Passover that Jesus was crucified, because through his death he became our saviour. He brought us out of the slavery to sin and to become sons and daughters of God. The second festival was the Feast of Weeks, or Harvest, and that was where the Jews gave thanks to God for their crop. The festival occurred in the end of the barley harvest. It's also known as Pentecost, because it was time to be 50 days after Passover. And we read in Acts 2 that it was at Pentecost when the power of the Holy Spirit was released on the disciples, and they were then able to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And as a result of one of the sermons, 3,000 people became Christians. I think I wish I could preach like that. And the third festival was the Feast of Tabernacles, which occurred after the grape and grain harvest was over. And it was at that festival that the Jews would camp out for a week in tents, recalling the temporary dwellings that they had after their exodus. And all three of these festivals reminded them of God's blessing on his people, in the physical and in the spiritual. So the physical harvest, I mean, that's our first thought on harvest. It is, of course, the tradition of the Feast of the Harvest, really, that from Pentecost that we stand this morning. And Paul reminds us that God's provision for us when he said, God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And bread is the theme of the rest of my talk this morning. The bread of life. While it's easy for us to remember the physical harvest, it is important that we also remember the spiritual harvest too. And indeed, my second thought stands more on the tradition of Passover. Now, can any of you remember the words, or any of the Jesus' words, to do with bread? I am the bread of life. So what do you think Jesus meant by that when he said it? Did he mean that he had suddenly become a piece of bread? No, of course he didn't. Jesus meant that he alone could satisfy our deepest needs. Jesus is a spiritual food of life. Let's look at a bit of the background to that statement. Jesus had just fed a crowd of men and women who had come to hear him preach. He then left, but the crowd followed him. Why? Because he had fulfilled a physical need. He had fed them when they were hungry. But then Jesus challenged them, saying, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but food that endures eternal life." So what was Jesus' mission on earth? And I think his real mission on earth was to satisfy our deepest spiritual needs. So in other words, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he is saying, "I alone can actually satisfy you." Now, can you remember, where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
Do you know what Bethlehem means? The house of bread. So Jesus came from the house of bread. I wonder if God was telling us something with that. Jesus will satisfy our deepest needs. So what are these deep needs? Well, I thought of five. The first need Jesus satisfied is our need to belong. We all need to belong. And Jesus came to this earth so that we could belong to the family of God. He died to enable us to be his brothers and sisters, to belong to God's family, and to be able to call God the Father, Dad. Jesus comes to satisfy our need to belong, to become his brothers and sisters. The second need is that Jesus satisfies is that of close friendship. If you cultivate that friendship, he will become a dear friend to you. Jesus said, "I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." The third thing that need that Jesus satisfies is our curiosity. He answers our questions. The Pharisees asked Jesus questions. For example, if it was right to pay taxes to Caesar. And that was Jesus was put there into a no-win situation, because if Jesus had said, "You should pay your taxes to Caesar," he would have lost the public support. However, if he said, "You shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar," then the Pharisees would have been able to deliver him to the Romans for execution. But Jesus' answer was breathtaking in that he said, he asked for a coin to be given to him. And on that coin was Caesar's head. And he therefore then said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." The fourth need that Jesus satisfies is that he will relieve our fears. Just after the resurrection, in John 20, the disciples were gathered behind closed doors for the fear of the Jews. Jesus walked through the door and he stood amongst them and he said, "Peace be with you." Another time, when the disciples were caught in a storm on the Lake of Galilee, he relieved their fears by calming the storm. Jesus relieves our fears. And the final need that Jesus satisfies is our doubts. We all have doubts at times, and Jesus entertains our doubts. And the first, most famous occasion was when Thomas doubted that the Lord had risen. He told the other disciples that he would only believe if he put his hands into the nail holes in Jesus' hands and his hand into the spear mark in Jesus' side. Jesus, instead of being angry with Thomas for doubting, offers Thomas the proof he was looking for. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." So Jesus will entertain our doubts and he will deal with them. So in conclusion, while it is easy to see the physical harvest, which we give thanks all around us, we're also called to remember too that there is also a spiritual harvest that God gives us too. He needs both physical and spiritual needs. So the next time you eat a piece of bread or toast May I encourage you to think about the five spiritual needs that Jesus, the bread of life, can satisfy. B, our need to belong. R, he relieves our fears. E, he entertains our doubts. A, he answers our questions. And D, he is a dear friend. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have given us so much. Help us to use what you have given us responsibly. Help us to be aware of those who have less than us and to give generously. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.